Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a party Tuesday. Dominic, we are on the patio, Hawk's Bar and Grill, right here on State Street. We got a fine guest, former U.S. Attorney, our good friend James Santel, with us at the table. There are a few less cannolis. I dove into the cannolis.
And I've noticed, Mike, that you selected the non-chocolate covered, which would give my Aunt Carmela great pleasure to know that you went with the pure item, the pure bakery.
Yeah, come on.
Sweet. But right. Not too sweet.
Who puts chocolate on a cannoli, right, man? Know, it's just like putting a Hershey's syrup on tiramisu.
Exactly.
Mr. Santel, right, you know, our Uncle Beetle's right, rolling right, over right, in his grave, man.
I was troubled when I got them, I have to tell you. I was troubled by the chocolate-covered cannolis.
Tom's going to order ketchup and egg noodles later. Who's he kidding? Jim Santel, Dom, I will defer to you and your egg noodle ketchup eating self. I know you had a few more questions.
Yeah, Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. I know we talked quite a bit about the investigations and the J6 and, of course, a little bit about the Department of Justice. But obviously, there's many investigations going on. I want to get your sense of where we stand on some of these. And perhaps the one I'm looking the most forward to being resolved is Fani Willis down in Fulton County, Georgia, where Trump's looking for 11,780 votes.
Which still
is
looking. Still
one
looking.
More. More than he needs. What's your sense on where that investigation is right now in the actual exposure? And, of course, subpoenas out to people like Senator Lindsey Graham, who's trying to fight them. Who do you think is ahead in the game here as it compares to, for instance, Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice?
Right. From the very start, we kind of thought that one, a more discreet prosecution unit. You could charge this again as the call. The call you just described, Dom. I need these votes. Give them to me, Mr. Secretary of State. That in and of itself, I'm sure she's got that at the top of her list. That's probably count number one. What that is, that's solicitation to undermine our Georgia election. I'm sure it's in violation of Georgia state law. Again, not a federal prosecution. That kind of a focus on it. So she's got that one in place. All you need to do is play the tape on that one.
Right, no brainer, right? Low-hanging fruit.
That is kind of like the Steve Bannon trial. That you can do in a course of an afternoon almost. She plainly is going beyond that because, as you said, she's subpoenaing people like Lindsey Graham. She's subpoenaing other people. So she is doing something broader, and she is asking the question, okay, who else was a part of this conspiracy, either to prompt Donald Trump to do that or maybe even do other things to try to get the Georgia vote skewed in the wrong direction? And that obviously will take more time. Anytime you add a conspiracy on, you're going to be bringing in more people. My sense is, even so, her universe is necessarily smaller. And I don't mean that in a bad sense, but it doesn't have to deal with 2,000 people who storm the Capitol and then all the Proud Boys, the 3%ers, and then the leaders of all that in Washington, D.C. You've got a discrete number of people who are focusing on one state for maybe a long period of time, but not over the top. And so my own sense is that one may well be concluded long before Merrick Garland is ready to go with something on his end out of the federal grand jury in D.C. We'll wait and see. But again, I think the big news is it is just the Lindsey Graham stuff. That is, she is looking either for testimony, could be a subject, could be a target. What did he do? What did he say? She's broadened the ambit beyond just Donald Trump and this conversation with the Secretary of State.
Lindsey Graham's defense, as he's trying to get this subpoena quashed is that, hey, he's just doing his job. You know, he's just doing his job. Right, and this is part of the role of a senator and oversight, blah, 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 blah.
He doesn't serve in Georgia.
What's your take of that defense, Jim?
Right. You know, so here's his exact statement. He says, the Constitution, he says, provides absolute protection against inquiry into Senator Graham's legislative acts. Well, there is a part of the Constitution that says, yeah, for things that you say on the floor of the Senate, we're not going to hold you responsible. Perhaps we should. Maybe another thing that James Madison would rethink if he had to rewrite the Constitution. But again, does it protect criminal behavior? Does it protect conspiracies to undermine the government, whether it's in Georgia or the United States of America? The answer is no. And so, again, we've talked about this. It's called the crime fraud exception. All these privileges, none of them is absolute. And the mere fact that he's a United States senator who's got some responsibilities in this area does not mean that he is immune, number one. We've talked. He's got to show up. You got a subpoena. That's a basic concept that unfortunately Steve Bannon now knows too well. You got to show up. You can raise privileges, and we can litigate those. Even the privileges are not going to prevent him from providing the testimony about what he did. It's not legislative. It is, if anything, it is probably criminal behavior that he'd be testifying about.
Jim Santel, let's talk about a little criminal election fraud happening a little closer to home. There's a voter advocacy, air quotes, character named Waite that apparently tried to get some ballots for the Republican Speaker of the Assembly and the Democratic Mayor of Racine and apparently like 10 other people. And then he went and confessed his criminality to the sheriff, a Trumpster from Racine County, I believe, Schmeling.
Right.
And Schmeling's response was not to seek to prosecute the guy who just confessed the crime, but to blame the elections commissioner and perhaps the portal at the My Vote Wisconsin, because damn it, somebody's got to pay for this man's criminality.
Right. And specifically told him, I'm not coming to arrest you. Go ahead.
Basically, hell no, I think is what he said.
Right? I'm effectively sanctioning what you did. I am the chief county law enforcement officer, a major. Now, they're all important to the state of Wisconsin, but that one in particular. And I'm basically going to give you a complete law enforcement pass on this. Now, under these circumstances, yeah, you normally go to the DA and get a complaint and maybe get a search warrant, those kinds of things. But the notion that that's his immediate response is very, very, not just... It's not surprising. It is shocking. And also goes to this other issue, which we've talked about at great length. If I commit a crime and then I come to you later on and I say, oh, I'm going to confess to it. I commit it. I use the example all the time, right? The bank robbery, right? I commit the bank robbery and then come back a few hours later and say, oh, wait. Here's your money back. I just wanted to see if, in fact, the FDIC was really serious about protecting your money. Turns out that maybe they were and all of things are forgiven here. Doesn't work that way. You've committed the crime. And again, not only is the sheriff not in a position to make those judgment calls, that's a DA who makes those judgment calls. But I would also say that to the extent that he is pontificating about this, he's just plain wrong. A crime was committed here. It may not be in at the same level as the, for example, the state electors or things we talked about in Washington, D.C. But the very fact that you decide to do this, it is in violation with intent, with knowledge, with purpose, which you've confessed to. It makes it a crime, and the DA should be looking at it. We will see what happens in that part of our state. Beyond that, the sheriff should not be out there saying those kinds of things because, again, deterrence, none whatsoever. What stops the next person from doing the same kind of thing? That's the long-term impact of all of these behaviors. Sends the bad messages to America. It's okay to do this. It's okay to lie. It's okay to undermine the structures of government, and we'll let you get away with it.
Jim, I'll take some small comfort in the fact that the Attorney General of the United States,
of the state of Wisconsin.
A little distraction on the street. I get distracted readily.
Right.
The Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, Josh Call,
yes,
has opened, or at least the Department of Justice has opened an investigation into the Waite getting the fake ballot character.
Right.
But I wonder to this moment, Jim, why is the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin not investigating and perhaps prosecuting the false electors? I think they were in that building right there December 14th, committing a fraud and perhaps an insurrection, Jim.
Without in any way minimizing what we just chatted about this goofball, this jamoke, so to speak, who's doing this crazy stuff, and that is a crime there. The much more serious matter is exactly that one. Again, right up the street here at that beautiful building we call the Wisconsin State Capitol, we know that there was a fraudulent meeting, a parallel meeting at which people got together and said, you know what? We're going to put together some false documents. We're going to sign them as if we're true electors. We're going to send them off to Washington, D.C., to the archives, to Congress. And we're going to maintain that indeed, we're the true voice of Wisconsin. There is no doubt, from my perspective, again, I was not a state prosecutor, I was a federal prosecutor, but there are prohibitions in the state and federal law against false statements, false representations, fraud against government, and I share your concern that unlike many other attorneys general in this nation, our attorney general is not pursuing that and has made just the opposite decision. I continue to be concerned about that, especially, again, with this recent news. We are pursuing the fellow in southeastern Wisconsin about this other matter, but we're not addressing the one right up the street that really had the potential impact to change the course. It did change the course of history, but could have been much more catastrophic.
Reminds me of the inaction of the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg.
Yeah, a little concerning about that as well. As we talk about these ongoing investigations in different areas and different parts of the country, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, took over and basically said, "Nah, I don't think we can win." Right. A couple of prosecutors quit based on that. But Tish James, the New York State Attorney General, she's still pursuing her civil case.
Right.
And last we heard, Trump and the kids were supposed to come and testify, but then, you know, mom accidentally fell down the stairs and died of blunt, you know, forced trauma to her chest and
buried her out on the first tee.
So, I mean, I don't even go there, but they were excused from their testimony at that time.
Right, at that time.
I can't imagine. I mean, come on, the guy's, Trump's out traveling around the country, he's doing rallies. He certainly has time to get his ass back to New York under oath to testify, don't you think, Jim?
Absolutely. And Tish James is a bright and vigorous, I don't like the word aggressive because that sentence tends to suggest to me that you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. She knows what's going on.
Diligent,
right? Conscientious, right? Focused, all those kinds of good words. And again, do judges, are they aware of the reality that's out there when they turn to the front or second or maybe the sixth page of the New York Times and see that Donald Trump is frankly going to be here in Wisconsin and Waukesha this Friday?
Friday, we're
going
to broadcast it
be
live
right there,
on
right?
the show.
And again,
so
at the end of the month to try to, you know, his insurrection tour.
Absolutely. And they know that. And so one of the questions that judges can ask is, you know, counsel for Mr. Trump or the children, where is your client right now? What are they doing? Why is it that this, which is a judicial obligation, cannot be honored? And those kinds of things are. And I suspect we're going to be hearing more about that from the courts out there in New York very soon.
Our excellent guest, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. He comes bearing cannolis and lots and lots of knowledge. Jim, thank you so much for joining
us. Always a pleasure.
Here on the patio at Hawks Bar and Grill, you can all join us on the patio. This party's just getting started. The Summer of Love 2.0 Boosted Boogaloo. More the Happier Happy Hour, the Tuesday edition. Live at Hawks, we're partying on the patio.
The House of Representatives has passed on to the Senate, and the Senate's getting ready.
We got to do something.
To do something.
You know what we got to do?
Hopefully
talk apart.